Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen. I'll be joined by my co-host, Laura Whiffler, in just a minute. Today is our very last show of the Gospel Moms series as we talk through what kind of moms we want to be. This is from chapter 11 of the book. And if you missed any of the shows, we hope you'll go back and listen in, because even if you didn't buy the book, all of the information and the essential principles are still there on our show. It's also been so much fun to see you all sharing pictures of Gospel Mom, the book, in your homes. So keep sharing what you're learning with us. And remember, it's not too late to grab your copy at the link in the show notes. We're going to keep the good book news coming because our final book in what we're calling the Risen Motherhood Legacy Collection releases March 4th, 2025. It's called A Million Tiny Moments, and it's a collection of our writings over the years as we've processed the gospel and motherhood through the little years. While Gospel Mom is kind of like the deep dive resource for exploring how God has wired you for your motherhood and how to walk with Him in all types of different situations, A Million Tiny Moments is the quick gospel pick-me-up you need when you don't have all the time in the world to go deep. It is designed to have a reference book-like feel and be something that you can kind of chew a little bit on each day or read through in one setting. Think of the books like this. Gospel Mom goes the deepest, and it's the most studious. And then we have our first book, The Green One, Risen Motherhood, that's more storytelling-based and example-based about our journey with the gospel and motherhood. And then the most easy to read and digest book is A Million Tiny Moments, where you could give that to any mom that's at any level spiritually. And it's a quick, easy book to read that meets a lot of those felt needs in motherhood. These three books make up what we're calling the Legacy Collection for Risen Motherhood. And we're so thankful we were able to create them before we sunset in April. Speaking of sunset, mark your calendar for Saturday, April 5th, 2025. Before Risen Motherhood closes its doors, we're going out with a huge party. We'll be streaming it all live from Fort Worth, Texas, and we'd love it if you grab your mom pals and join us via simulcast for a time of reflection on all that God has done through the ministry of Risen Motherhood. Tickets are free. You just need to register. You can find all the links to the books and the show in our show notes or head to risenmotherhood.com. Let's get to the show.
So, Em, this one time I was working on a project and it didn't do very well, is the honest truth. And it was one of those things that it really didn't add up either. Like, if you looked at it objectively on paper, it was like, hey, all of this, it actually should have done really well. You did all the right things. There were like really incredible big things that you didn't even ask for, and those happened. And it was just really cool things. But then in the end, like, the project didn't turn out very well, and it didn't go very far. And, you know, I was talking with some of the people who were collaborating with me on the project, and they were very much like, you know, it's just one of those things, like, sometimes we don't know why this happens, and that's okay. And I was like, okay, but also like, not okay. You know, it was like, I'm not okay with this. And I really felt like I wanted to get to the bottom of it. And I was chatting with a friend one day and kind of telling her this same story I'm telling you right now. And she was like, you know, Laura, God calls us to the work. He doesn't call us to the results. And I was like,
ooh.
Yeah. It was huge. Like, it was just this moment for me that I was like, yes, God asked me to be faithful in doing the work. And a lot of really great things happened within the work. But the results, like, God never promised that I would have like the big splashy results of the work, or that they would add up or make sense to me. And that was such a good reminder for me of like really what all of life is about.
Yeah. Oh boy. I feel like there's definitely some biblical passages that kind of remind me of that principle. You know, even thinking in Proverbs 4:25-27, where it says, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Like, that is a verse that's primarily talking about the work that we're doing and the direction that we're going, not about the destination, right? Like, it's about, hey, whatever path you're on, don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1-3, it's like kind of that famous passage of like, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus. And like, again, that idea that we're keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. We are taking one step at a time. We're doing the things that God has called us to do. And what's at the end of that journey? Ultimately, it's Christ. It's being unified with him. And we aren't promised in this life like really specific outcomes, or our children to turn out a certain way, or that we wouldn't have to struggle with certain things. Like, I just continue to be amazed as I get further and further into life, how much the fall really is real and how wide sweeping it actually is. And like, even in the journey of risen motherhood and like trying to be gospel centered, there's still so many things that I'm like, oh, I didn't think I'd have to deal with that. And it's like, those things are very real. And that's why we have to keep our hope fixed on Jesus and not on the results.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good reminder that gospel growth is not linear. And I think as we have gone through this whole mini series, and we've been talking about our book, Gospel Mom, and like talking about like, hey, here's how to make decisions and here's how to know God's will for your life and all of this stuff. The reality is like, you're still going to come back sometimes and be like, I'm still confused. Like, I have all the tools at my disposal and I still feel confused, or this just feels too complex to figure out. Or maybe at times, I know it's happened for me, like it feels boring. And I think we have to get kind of used to this idea of one step forward, two steps back, and that one day light bulbs are going off and you're energized and you are excited about understanding gospel motherhood, understanding how scripture applies to your life, and you're feeling all this clarity and excitement and seeing God's fingerprints and seeing fruit in your family. And then the next day you're like, okay, out with a friend having coffee and she's looking for advice from you, and you're just like, I don't know. Nothing is coming to mind.
I think I did that to you yesterday. I was like, I have nothing wise to share.
You did. You are encouraging to me.
But I love you, right? Like, I'm here with you, but right. I don't have any great words of wisdom.
Yeah. When someone's going through hard stuff and on the spot, and it's like, you can know the Bible front and back, but there are times where there just is no words.
Yeah.
And I think that is like, or like your kids are embarrassing you, right?
Yes.
Or maybe like you say something and you offer advice and then you get in the car and you're like, I don't think that actually was true. You know, I had that moment where I'm like, I think I kind of said something untrue there.
Oh man, I know. And it is hard because those situations happen. Like, I will still have moments where, again, something embarrassing will happen or someone will disagree with your decision or sort of like push back on you in a conversation and you're like, I don't really know what to do. And I still have to think really hard. I have to sort of give myself enough time, whether it's on a walk or it's in the car and it's like, okay, just mommy's going to turn on music, don't talk. And I have to really think hard. What does it look like to trust the Lord in this? And like, what things can I anchor myself to and my hope to in the midst of this situation that feels very confusing and very stressful? Like, you and I still even face that. The other thing I have to sort of caution myself about sometimes is to think that like, walking in grace like isn't working, you know, because the results, you know, even though we've already said like are not promised to us in a really specific way, there is fruit. God is doing something. And oftentimes we just don't see it like in the moment because we don't have the context or the perspective of time yet. And so something that sometimes encourages me when I feel like, I don't know if I'm making progress with this, or are my decisions more and more aligning with God's word? Am I being more and more patient? Am I, you know, investing more and more in these spiritual disciplines? Like, are those things really happening? Is to look back and see, you know, maybe where I was at when the kids were young, or to see, can I think of specific situations where I opted to apply the gospel and I made steps forward, even though it felt like it wasn't doing anything. But now in hindsight, I can see how much fruit that had in our lives. So I feel like with fruit, you got to look backwards, not at the present.
Yeah. And I think this is where community comes in, right? Like, I mean, you and I still have to help each other figure out how the gospel applies. Like, we offer, I think, a nice counterbalance to each other because you and I typically see different elements and different sides. And I think too, like, your friends can say, oh, I've seen fruit and growth in you. I've seen you change. Or, hey, like, here's how to kind of correct that ideal, or here's how to build on that idea. I think that those are all big pieces to the puzzle as we sort of learn to apply the gospel to our lives, is that we are doing that in community with other moms, and you're not just trying to do it all by yourself. And whether that's like, I mean, you and I were long distance, you know, when we started this. So you might have a friend who's thinking this same way, but they live 10 hours away and you're doing it over the phone. It doesn't necessarily have to mean like, hey, I am living, it's my neighbor next door. Like, yeah. Find another mom who is desiring to think and grow in this way. And of course, in-person relationships are incredible, but sometimes you might have to kind of be like, hey, I'm okay that this is my friend who's I'm talking on Voxer with all the time.
Yeah, totally. And I think as we kind of wrap up talking about gospel motherhood and kind of what's this final thing we want you to take away, it's just really to persevere, right? To keep going, to not get stuck in guilt and feeling like, oh man, if I got some stuff wrong, or maybe I haven't been in the word as much as I wanted to, or maybe I did make a decision that was motivated by the wrong desires or whatever. Like, that's all normal. Mm-hmm. And it's part of how we grow, right? And so we're not doing these things to sort of like earn salvation or to be very impressive to other people. Like, this is our genuine walk with our Savior because we want to grow closer with Him. We want to know Him. We want to share His love with others. And like, it's not going to be perfect, but if you are following Christ and you're filled with the Spirit, He is at work with you and at work in you. And the best thing you can do whenever you notice like, oop, I haven't really been thinking about the Lord much lately, is just to start again. Yeah. You can always start again from wherever you're at.
Yeah, it's a whole new morning mercies thing. And I think as we were talking about a little bit of like, hey, what happens whenever you get it wrong or you mess up? Because that's going to happen, even with a book next to you like Gospel Mom. Praying and ask God about it, right? Asking Him to help you continue to grow. Like Em said, like, hey, if you're in earnest, if you're trying to be faithful, like God is going to honor that. And like, He knows you're going to make mistakes. He knows you're a sinner. It's not a surprise to Him. He knows that some of those will just be earnest errors and some of them will be, you know, we're just really off base and it's true sin. And then I think too, like not being afraid that if you do need to correct something, like maybe you are offering advice to a friend or you are trying to be there for them when things are hard, never be afraid to kind of come back and just say like, hey, I said this. And like, I think that how I would say it in a more true way is this, you know, and just letting them know, make that correction. I know that I have had to do that multiple times where I'm like, hey, I said something and I shouldn't have said it, or that was a little misguided or whatever. And I got a big mouth, so I probably got to do it more than most people, but you know, and then lastly, don't let fear of failure stop you from gospel growth. You know, like as you have to make some corrections or as you have to change, or you see some of those errors. I mean, honestly, if we see places where we mess up, that's a gift of grace from the Spirit, right? That we even have eyes to see where we can grow and improve. And I think like, just keep going, keep practicing. You only will get better like the more that you try.
Yeah. And prayer is obviously a huge component of this as well. And just praying that God would be working in your heart to make you more like Him, to be able to use greater and greater wisdom, to be able to have just holiness in your daily actions. And in church, actually, we have been going through a sermon series on 1 John, and this verse really stood out to me. And it's one of those that I'm like, I know I've read this before, but how did I miss this? You know, in 1 John, I don't know what chapter now, but verses 14 through 15, I don't have it in my notes. It says, this is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. And I'm like, this is a crazy promise. Like, this is amazing. That's literally like, if we ask according to God's will, essentially the answer is yes. Now, that yes may be given in heaven. It may not be something like specific and immediate, but like if we're praying for God to increase the fruit of the Spirit in us, when we are asking for God to help us love others better, or we're asking to grow in wisdom, like His answer to that is yes. Like, and so that's just so encouraging to me to know that like those prayers are not in vain and they're not unanswered. Okay, Laura, what was your favorite part of this final chapter?
Well, fun fact, we almost titled the book Gospel Mom, What Kind of Moms? Turns out, though,
we had a lot of different titles.
We did. We had a lot of titles.
But and, that was a close second.
Yeah. And there was another book that was really popular that had a really similar title. So we decided to change it. And we also wanted it to be a little bit closer to like Risen Motherhood. You know, Gospel yeah. Mom feels very related, very much book two-esque. But we were able to use that title in the chapter. So this is the title of this chapter. And really, it's the heartbeat of the book. It's this question of what kind of moms are we going to be? Well, we're going to be gospel moms. And honestly, I love the phrase, like, what kind of mom am I going to be? Like, that to me is such an essential question for every mom to be asking. And so often, you know, our immediate answer, like if we're just being really honest about our shallow answers, it's something like, oh, I'm going to be the fit mom, or I want to be the pretty mom, or I want to be the talented mom. You know, and maybe even you have like deeper definitions, but like in general, we're pretty surfacey and shallow about it. But underneath all of that, you know, the question as for us as Christian moms is like, who do we want to be? Well, we know the right answer. And I think truly, like when your heart is God's, like this is what you want to be a mom that honors and loves God with all her heart. And so this is my battle cry, you know, and this is our battle cry, you're in mine. And we hope for the whole Risen Mother community that everyone is saying more than all of these other surfacey things, even really good things, like, you know, I want to be an involved mom, or I want to be a positive mom or a kind mom. Those are great. But even beyond that, deep down, we want to be a gospel mom. And so I love that we covered that in this chapter, well, this whole book, but like we were really able to kind of put that into this last chapter and end it on what I felt like was more of like a rah-rah note of like, let's together be gospel moms.
Yeah. I really also appreciated just the reiteration. I think the quote is, the gospel is so simple and beautiful that in many ways, it's not complicated. Just live by the word of God and follow him in faith. Yet we also know that when the rubber meets the road, living the gospel can feel vague and complex. And I just think that speaks to just the spectrum too of like moms that are reading, that are listening. And I think there's ditches sometimes in this conversation. Like for some of us, like we make following God really too complicated. Uh-huh. Like we're overthinking it and like heaping lots of guilt on ourselves and feeling like, oh, I'm walking on eggshells around God. And if I get it a little bit wrong here, or I get the wrong book for my kids, or I'm not doing the exact right quiet time, or I miss church on Sunday or whatever, like we are feeling like our whole salvation is resting on this like really specific high expectation, you know, version of Christian motherhood. And so like to those moms, they need to hear like, it's simple, like just follow God and walk by faith and read the word, you know, like don't overcomplicate it. But then on this other side, there are moms who maybe aren't thinking about these things at all. They're just going, it's simple, whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe haven't thought deeply about what resources they're giving their kids. They haven't thought deeply about how to walk with the Lord. They haven't invested in their prayer lives. And like, that's okay. You got to meet everyone where they're at. But like, yes, we are trying to give more tools and to say, yeah, think about this a little harder, a little bit more deeply. And so it's both, you know, and like sometimes we're in a different place in our motherhood journey. Sometimes we're needing to be reminded to just chill out. And sometimes we're needing to be reminded, no, like pursue this. This is really important.
Okay. What's something, Em, you've learned since writing or you're thinking about right now related to the topic?
I mean, right now I'm always kind of like working through things in my mind. So I just have this thought that it's interesting to go, okay, what we kind of want in life is like continuity between who we are and what we worship on earth and then heaven, right? That like sort of our song and our worship would just extend, right? Like it wouldn't be like, hey, in this life, we're worshiping other things and then suddenly we die and we're resurrected and like, oh, now we're all about Christ. Like, I think the point is that we're all about Christ now and that song of our hearts just continues on and on and on. And like, yes, there's going to be differences, right? Like we are not perfect here on earth and things will be totally different. But it's like, I've just been really challenged to think that right here now on earth, my life should be all about Christ. Like not primarily about sports teams and what vacation we're taking and how cute everyone is dressed for their school pictures. And then like in heaven, it will be all about spiritual things. But like, right now, like the weighty spiritual things should trickle down into those mundane decisions. And I just keep thinking about how much I want to have a deep commitment to Jesus and to like seek first the kingdom now and know that like that's the heartbeat I'm going to have for eternity and not think that like that heartbeat starts whenever I'm raised from the dead, you know?
Yeah. It's that, in the Lord's Prayer of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, you know, that line that Jesus charges us to pray is it's not waiting for heaven. It's like being heavenly right now.
Yes. You know? What about you?
Yeah. I think, I don't know how much this like perfectly relates to the chapter, but I think it does just in that terms of like continual growth as a believer. I've started asking my friends, what is dazzling or inspiring you spiritually or theologically about God right now? And I think in the past 6 to 12 months, I mean, you and I have talked about this, Emily, like there can be like a disenchantment that kind of starts to happen with Christendom, not necessarily like deconstruction or something, which is a different type of thing, but sort of this like, hey, I've just sort of
I've heard it all.
Yeah, I've heard it all. I've lost some of that awe and wonder about God. Mm-hmm. And are you still learning and growing? Sure. But it doesn't necessarily feel like there's this like, ooh, like you and I are both the type of person that's like, we get really into something or we hear something fascinating and we're like, now I'm going to research it to the ends of the earth and back, you know?
And then our next podcast series is going to be that about
that.
And
exactly.
Then, exactly.
And so I think that that has been kind of like made some things dull and dry for me lately. My jaw just hasn't dropped about God lately. And that's not to say that we won't go through things like that. We all know that we will. But I think one of the things that has been fun is that as I've kind of crowdsourced this question and asked people, I've had like a couple of topics that I'm like, ooh, I want to explore that. Like, I want to learn about that. And some things I'm like, oh yeah, totally. Like I remember going through that whole, you know, let's talk about theopodies or let's talk about, you know, like different theological things. And I'm like, oh, I remember doing that. But there have also been some new things and fresh things. So it's been fun to ask, not only to hear like their contagious joy and like, how is God stimulating their brain, right? But also to give me some ideas. And so, I don't know, I guess I would say like asking people, how is God impressive to you lately? Or what is fascinating you spiritually right now? And I think that that is like a really fun conversation.
Yeah, love it.
Okay, where do you think moms are most likely to fall in error here or to struggle?
I mean, I think that there's so many times in life where we want there to be like a formula or a system that is foolproof and like good enough to fix us so that we don't have to care or like change what we love. Like this system is going to do the work for us. And like, if I can just, you know, follow this eating plan, or I can just follow this workout plan, or I can follow this homeschool curriculum, or I can follow this influencer stuff and just buy all their stuff, like my house will look like that, right? Like, have you ever seen those videos on Instagram, like the reels where people do like a room refresh and they like clean everything and they've got like all these little products and like these tiny things and they like click and spray?
I don't think I do. I mean, I know
Instagram thinks I want to watch this.
Those like noise videos where it's like ASMR or whatever that's supposed to be like calming.
But it's like, well, it's just kind of like this sense of like, if I had all those little products, like think about how clean my room would be. I need that mop and like,
yeah, I get that.
I need that spray. Like, there is some weird, you know, I don't even know, but there's probably like a special iron for your linens, you know, all these different things. And there's sort of this sense that it's like, if I could just have all that stuff, my problem of like having dirty clothes on the floor and the bed unmade would be gone.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that there can be a temptation with what we've laid out in Gospel Mom, all that we've talked about in Risen Motherhood, even over the years, just sort of feel like, oh, another formula. I found it. And like, it can sort of feel like, oh, if I could just implement this, then things are going to be like so much easier. And like, I don't want to sound discouraging when I say like, we've been doing this, you know, for years and years and years now. And like, I love the Lord more and like I'm walking with him hopefully in greater wisdom. And I think there's been a lot of fruit, but like, I don't know that like my life is so much easier or simpler or, you know, I think
my life is way more complicated than when we started Risen Motherhood. I'm sorry.
More suffering.
It's way harder.
So I don't know. I guess I just like would say like, one, a system won't do the work for you. Like you still have to want to follow God for yourself. Like you have to just, you have to deeply desire to orient your life around him. Like this system won't do that for you.
It's interesting because I would almost like my immediate tendency is to say women will fall in error. like by not being into the system enough.
Yeah, there
like
you the go. Let's like, get both sides.
Yeah, and this is where you and I are so different. Like I'm like, don't give me the system. I'll invent the system. You know? But just that idea that I think women may find it too dry, you know, and kind of say like, oh, system schmistum, you know, like, I don't know. It just, it doesn't feel exciting or creative enough to them. And that's one of the things that I like about RM though, that we do here is that we make some of these headier things be immensely practical. And I think that's what you need to sort of not feel like it's dry is that you see, okay, I see how I can apply this to the carpool lane or to selecting sports or, you know, to, I don't know, what school I choose and stuff like that. Or the other side is like, they'll see the system is too hard and they'll kind of say, it is just not worth the effort to me. Like they can't see what you were saying, like the goodness of the system. Mm-hmm. They can't see that. And, or maybe they can, but they're like, it's just, I don't know, the effort's just not there for me because I'm buried under all these other things. And this is where I think community and friendships are so important because kind of like I was saying earlier of like, what are you fascinated by? There's that contagious spirit that I think we can have as moms where, I mean, this has happened to you and I, right? Like I'm kind of bored or out of it or not interested in applying the gospel, but then you start asking me questions or bringing up conversations and then suddenly I'm perking up and I'm like, oh yeah, this is who I want to be. We got to remind each other of truth, remind each other of like why this is valuable. And in like, I mean, just biblically, you see it all over the Bible that like, you're never meant to be in isolation as a Christian. Like we're supposed to be with others and running this race as a group, you know? And so I think that those are kind of two dishes that I see kind of on the opposite side, I guess, of what you were saying.
All right, let's get practical. So Laura, if a mom wanted to do one to two things right now to help her grow in gospel motherhood, risen motherhood, apply these things, what are some ideas?
Well, you know, I have to say that if you haven't grabbed Gospel Mom yet, please grab the book. That is why we wrote it, that we really, really want moms to get caught up in the vision that we cast for what motherhood could be.
And then the workbook.
Oh, and the workbook, also important.
The workbook is where like all the, like the pen, the highlighter,
the deep thinking, the real work
happens.
Yes. And like speaking of community, like we just did on the last segment, like it is a great thing to go through with friends and probably produce even more fruit. But other things you can do is, you know, join a local Bible study, start one in your neighborhood with friends, like start creating spaces to have conversations like this. That would probably be like, I'm guessing your and my biggest tip is like create spots with people. Like even Emily, you came up to me the other day and with another friend of mine or ours, and you were like, hey, I want us to have coffee so we can talk about, you know, theological stuff.
I am dying. We need to set that up.
Okay, we will. It was just so funny because you like came up and like pointed your finger at both of us and you're like, we need to sit down and like talk about deep theological things. And I was like, yes, like that's a friend that I want. And you have to be bold to like start those conversations and then not just like let that coffee date turn into girl chat or gossip time, but instead like being intentional about what the conversation holds. And that is where a book comes in handy to guide the combo.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Like, if you're like, it is so hard for me to meet in person right now. First of all, you can always do this at the park. You can do it
with
on
the
a
kids
walk.
Around.
Like, you can think really creative, but then there are times when like it's a Voxer app or I don't even know what people use these days. Marco Polo.
Yeah, we're probably behind.
WhatsApp.
We don't know millennials. We're old millennials.
Yes, but there's some tech where you use to like, you know, talk back and forth with each other while you're in the midst of your daily responsibilities or on your commute to and from work, right? And like, this is how Risen Motherhood started. This is how Laura and I got started talking about these things. And I think it just takes a friend to step forward and say, I know you love God and I love God and I want to go deeper with you on this topic. And like, can we just, are you okay if we like talk about these more spiritual things and like, or I have these questions from this podcast, would you like listen to this and then we can discuss it together? Like, I just think somebody has to go first and then you may be amazed at what type of friendship and discussions develop.
Okay, so with all of that, what kind of moms are we gonna be?
Gospel moms.
We didn't even plan that. That was so great. That's honestly, you know, what our encouragement is throughout this whole series and the legacy that we want to leave at Risen Motherhood is that we want each of you who are listening and in this community to latch on to the truth of the gospel with a white knuckle grip and trust that God is good and kind and for you and trust that his word and his work will carry you all the way to the gates of heaven. So trust then and know that you aren't going to be perfect on this path, but you don't have to be.
Dani from Germany, and I'm a mom to two boys, aged 4 and 2. In August 2019, I started listening to your podcast from the first episode. I took at least one show a week every Saturday while cleaning the bathroom. I could grow and learn alongside with your old niece. The Lord provided gospel hope, gave me deeper insight into godly motherhood and church commitment. I love your authentic, kind, God-loving characters. I have to add that the Holy Spirit often took my everyday life, matching to the next episode. How great is our God?
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.